Merry Christmas, you beautiful people.
Welcome to the Christmas show.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Rider Carbine Action 2 on the Shot Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Merry Christmas, you beautiful people! This is the last episode of the year before Christmas. It's Christmas. When this comes out, it's Christmas tomorrow. That's right. Yeah, and if you're listening on Christmas Day, it's Christmas today. If you're listening to it after Christmas, it was Christmas a few days ago or a day ago. I don't know. Let's not worry about that too much. Girls, say hello.
Hello.
Yeah, and they're going to sing a song for you to wish you a Merry Christmas. Girls, hit it.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your king. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now bring
no, no, figgy pudding, get out. That's it, you're done now. See you later, girls. Thanks. Merry Christmas. Off you go. Go on, Angie. Get out. Go. Close the door. Okay, they've gone. Cool. It's a very short show. Got the quiz. Got a story for you. Got another story for you that I'm going to read for my brain. And that'll be it for this episode. But one thing I do want to say is I got an email from Rob Davison and I wanted to share it with you. We haven't got time to cover a version of A Christmas Carol today, but I think you might like listening to this. His email's put, "Now, I'm aware that you enjoy trying out different versions or adaptations of A Christmas Carol and thought you might like to know about something I literally dreamt up a couple of nights ago. I had a cold upon me, so decided to have an early night. In my fevered state, as I slept, I dreamt up an utterly bizarre version of the Dickens classic in which Paul Chuckle was Scrooge and the ghost of Barry turned up in chains to warn him. Unfortunately, it only got that far before I woke up in a cold sweat, but it got me to thinking, how about it? A Chuckle Brothers Christmas Carol? Could that have worked? If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die. Oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear. Anyway, enough of my nonsense ideas from the subconscious. Love the podcast and hope you're having a great Christmas. So he's put that, right? And then he followed it up almost straight afterwards. He's put another quick note. I just Googled it and it actually exists. I can't believe it. It's called A Christmas Chuckle. So there you go. Now, for those of you who have never heard of the Chuckle Brothers, well, you will in a coming episode because I think I've got to cover that now, A Christmas Chuckle. But they were like a comedy duo, two middle-aged men who used to sort of get into scrapes, really. That's pretty much it. It was like very young kids would be into the Chuckle Brothers, but they had a couple of catchphrases. One of them was like, to me, to you, to me, to you. And another one would be where they'd go, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Just like Rob wrote in his email. Yeah, I just wanted to share that to you. I thought it was very Christmassy, and because it's to do with A Christmas Carol, well, you know how much I love A Christmas Carol. Anyway, let's get on with the show. Boys and girls, this is a shorter episode. Normally for the Christmas one, I just say hello, maybe play something for you, and the girls say Merry Christmas, and that's it. But I did want to add a few bits and bobs to this one, and just this last week, I've been in contact with a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Buffalo Hall, and he's been listening to, it sounds like, every episode since episode number one, just this past month. When he last emailed me, he was up to number 57. So he's well over halfway. I don't know if he'll make it to this episode by Christmas. But he's sent me a story, and this is a very interesting one. And I hope you enjoy it. It says, "Dear Mr. Jack, here is the story of my parents' first Christmas tree, as it had been told to me many times. My parents were married in August of 1963. They went to high school together for a few years in North Alabama before my mum moved with her family to California. My mum and dad were engaged when she moved and her parents would not agree to them getting married until she turned 18. My dad flew to California on her 18th birthday and they got married 4 days later. And after the honeymoon, he brought her back to Alabama to live. Since it was her first Christmas away from her family, he wanted to make it special, plus she was pregnant with me. That's not me. She wasn't pregnant with me. She was pregnant with Jimmy Buffalo Hall. Okay? Is that clear? Okay. They went to every Christmas tree lot around to find my mum's perfect tree, but found nothing. As they were driving home from looking one night, my mum spotted the tree of her dreams on the side of the road. It was tall and big around. My dad tried to tell her it was too big, but it was the tree she wanted. He told her that we'd have to go home and get a saw and cut it down for her. And that is exactly what he did. He took her home, got his saw, and went back and cut down the tree that was in the middle of someone's front yard. But it doesn't end there. He got it home in the house and decorated it. Next day, my dad came home from work to find the tree, decorations and all, in the front yard. It had fallen down while he was at work, and my mum, in tears, dragged it outside. And that is the story as it has been told to me. I don't know if they ever got another tree or brought that one back in. I wonder what the people thought when they woke up and found that their tree had been cut down in the middle of the night. That was the first of 56 Christmases together before my dad passed away. I hope that you enjoyed the story. I did enjoy the story, Jimmy. I did enjoy it very much, very much. I don't know what kind of story. I don't know if it's a happy story. I don't know if it's a sad story. I don't, it's just a story. Some bloke nicks a tree and then it falls over. But it's a story. Wow. 56 years together. That's gone past their golden wedding anniversary, isn't it? Well, thank you so much for sending that through, Jimmy. I really appreciate it. And I do hope you're enjoying listening to the other episodes. Now let's get on with this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Here it is, boys and girls, your favourite part of the show. 10 questions, 10 answers, that's all we do. It's great fun and you're loving it. Question number one. The song Jingle Bells was actually written for Thanksgiving in the USA, not Christmas. Is that true or is that false? Am I lying to you or am I telling you the truth? Question number two. Who wrote the book The Polar Express? Who indeed? Question number three. The Sugar Plum Fairy is a character in which ballet by Tchaikovsky set on Christmas Eve? Christmas Eve, kids. That's the key bit. That's not the key bit, is it? The Sugar Plum Fairy is the key bit. Question number four. What slogan designed to reduce the number of unwanted or abandoned dogs given as presents was coined by Clarissa Baldwin of the Dogs Trust? Okay. It's a slogan. What is it? Question number five. Gizwar Quislinjet is the Christmas greeting in which country? Now, this is so difficult. I'm giving you three options. And they all begin with A. Is it Albania, Azerbaijan, or Armenia? Okay. Okay. We've got 1 in 3 chance for that one, kids. Question number whatever. Who had the 1979 Christmas number one single with the song Another Brick in the Wall Part 2? The song is not Christmassy. You can gather that from the title. However, it is a Christmas number one. Question number something. Which American professional wrestler starred in the 1996 film Santa with Muscles? That's an easy one, isn't it? If you know the answer. It's really easy if you know the answer. It's incredibly easy. Right, next one. What food is believed to have originally been larger and oblong in shape, later to be made round, and was said to represent the baby Jesus wrapped in cloth in the manger or a crib? Okay, so you had a food. In the old days, it would look like baby in a manger. Now it doesn't. Now it's small and round. Okay, next one. In which 2001 film did Jonathan, played by John Cusack, and Sarah, although it could be Sarah, I haven't seen it, but it's S-A-R-A, played by Kate Beckinsale, encounter each other in Bloomingdale's on Christmas Eve and then reunite? What's that film? And the final one. In which city is the US National Christmas Tree erected each year, and every year since 1954 has marked the start of a month of festivities called the Pageant of Peace? There we go. Those are your 10 questions. Now, here come the answers. I've got Todd Killian from Christmas Clattering to give you the answers. But here's the thing. When I asked him the questions, I only asked him 9. Yeah, have a listen to this. I've edited out the bit where I read him the 10th question. So, boys and girls, I hope you got your 10 answers there. Now, I've got the fantastic Todd Killian from Christmas Clatter podcast. He was kind enough to let me go on his podcast, so I brought him back on mine. Now, if you remember, he was on last year, and he scored 10 out of 10 in the quiz, if memory serves. How many have you got this time, Todd?
I don't think I did as good as 10 out of 10, but hopefully I can get 8 out of 10.
Eight. Okay, yeah, here we go.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, actually, I might have got 8. Right, we'll see. Okay, here we go. Hang on, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. I think I only gave you 9 questions.
Yep, 9.
Okay, number 2. Okay, right. I've forgotten what we were saying now. You said you got more than us. Okay, I'm going to come back in. Okay, well, I think I've scored 8, but we'll find out at the end. Question number 1, the song Jingle Bells was actually written for Thanksgiving in the USA, not Christmas. Is that true or false?
I said that was true.
And it is true, yes. So far, you've got 100%.
Yep. Stop now.
You might have to, because I think after this next one, you're only going to have 50%.
Yep.
Who wrote the book, The Polar Express?
I just put down a last name, Springer.
No, it's not actually. It's Chris Van Arlsberg.
I can't read my handwriting. That's actually what I put down.
Springer, Arlsberg. I can see how that can happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You read it, Todd? Have you read it?
Yeah, I've read it. I just couldn't remember.
No, I've got a copy. I think yeah. I got it at a car boot sale. All the listeners will know that I spend half my life at car boot sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a copy. And I think I've read it. Actually, I don't think I have read it to the girls because there's a lot of talk in it about whether you believe or not.
Yeah.
And I think, well, they're a bit too young to, there shouldn't be any doubt.
Yeah.
So I'll wait till this, you know, till they pretty much don't believe anymore. And then I'll, then yeah. they'll be too old for it. Right. Question number 3. So you're on 50% now. How does that make you feel?
Well, I guess it's okay.
You're going to put it back. The next one's an easy one.
Hopefully.
The Sugar Plum Fairy is a character in which ballet by Tchaikovsky, which is set on Christmas Eve?
The Nutcracker Suite.
Just the Nutcracker, it says in there, but I think you're okay. Right. Yeah. Well done. Thank okay, you. Next one. What slogan designed to reduce the number of unwanted or abandoned dogs given as presents was coined by Clarissa Baldwin of the Dogs Trust?
Please help control the pet population. Have your pet spayed or neutered.
Is it? Did you think you got it right?
I don't know.
Did you? No, wait, as you wrote it down, did you think that was right?
Well, that's what Bob Barker used to say when he closed out The Price Is Right every day. So I just did wrote he really? That down. Yeah.
Wow, we didn't get that. Our Price Is Right is rubbish compared to your Price Is Right. no, it's not actually. Tell me if you've ever heard this saying before.
Okay.
A dog is for life, not just for Christmas.
Oh. No, I haven't, but that's really a lot easier way to say it.
It is. Yeah, it is. That's a natural one, though. That was good.
No, I didn't know what to put. So, yeah, at the end of Price Is Right, when Bob Barker was hosting, at the end of every episode, help control the pet population, have your pet spayed or neutered.
Was he set as a joke, or was it just, was he serious?
No, it was his real, kind of a real passion of his, to help, make sure there wasn't any unwanted pets kind of thing.
I've got to remember to sign off an episode of my podcast with that now. Forget Merry Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
I want that. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And you knew it word for word as well.
I heard it a lot of times.
A dog is for life, not just for Christmas. A very popular, you'd say bumper sticker, but in the UK, we don't really have bumper stickers. It's more a sticker in the rear window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
End an episode with that if you're going to end one with the Bob Barker.
it's not a bad one. It's not a bad one. I'll try to remember.
Yeah.
Question, what are we up to? Number 5. Okay, here we go. Right. There's 2 dots over the E. So I don't know what that does to the E, but there's 2 dots over it.
We don't use that. So we're going to say,
maybe it turns it into an E sound. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to say Gisura Christlindjet is a Christmas greeting in which country beginning with A? Albania, Azerbaijan, or Armenia?
I just guessed Armenia.
And it was Albania. That's what I said, Albania. Okay. This one's a bit Christmas adjacent now. Who had the 1979 Christmas number 1 single with the song Another Brick in the Wall Part 2?
Pink Floyd.
Yes, well done. Yeah, I remember when that was the Christmas number 1, and I remember because I was about 5, or 4 or 5, we were all singing it. We don't need no education. When we were at school, like 5-year-olds marching around the playground refusing to be educated.
Yeah, we did the same thing. Yeah, we're the same age, and we were doing the same. We're like tired of school already. It's like we just you've only started. Been here a year, guys.
Yep. We're done with it already. We don't need it. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Okay, another easy one. Which American professional wrestler starred in the 1996 film Santa with Muscles?
Hulk Hogan?
Have you seen it?
No.
No, I don't think I have either. Mm-hmm. I won't be surprised if it's been on in a room I've been in, but I've probably averted my eyes or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, question number something. What food is believed to have originally been larger and oblong in shape, later to be made round, and was said to represent the baby Jesus wrapped in cloth in the manger?
I didn't spell it right, but was it panalone, the cake bread panalone? Is that how you say it? That's what.
Panettone, isn't it?
Yeah, panettone.
No, mince pies.
Ah.
I've talked about that on the podcast, actually, how they evolved from being these huge affairs to down to these tiny little things you can fit in the palm of your hand. Yeah. Okay, next one. In which 2001 film do Jonathan, John Cusack, and Sarah, Kate Beckinsale, encounter each other in Bloomingdale's on Christmas Eve and reunite?
I just put Love Actually because I had no idea.
No, it was Serendipity.
Ah.
Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of it. I've never seen it.
No, I don't think I've seen it either, but I sort of feel like I should. With A-listers like that, all these big names, it's got to be better than some of the dross I've watched. Goodness me. Some of the films, some of the Christmas films I've watched. And I think, I know it's a Christmas film, but I've wasted 2 hours of my life there. Let's get into it.
Yep.
Last one. In which city is the US National Christmas Tree erected each year? And every year since 1954 has marked the start of a month of festivities called the Pageant of Peace.
Washington, D.C.?
Yes! Well done!
Big old 50%.
Well done indeed.
Five. I got five.
You got more than five, didn't you?
No. I counted five.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, wow, five.
Mm. Pitiful.
Yeah. I got seven, actually, because I got Washington, D.C. wrong. I was thinking it was the one at the Rockefeller Center. I don't know. And also, I got Chris Van Allsburg wrong. Hang on, I thought I said seven then. What's the other one I got wrong? Oh, no. Oh, eight. That's not bad.
Yeah, you did good.
There we go. Well, thanks for coming on again. Hopefully. Thanks for getting 5 out of 10, making me feel really intelligent. Why don't you tell my... the thing is, I say this, why don't you tell my listeners about your lovely podcast? But they must know about it already because it's superior to mine and it's been going longer. You going to tell everyone about the show?
Well, I wouldn't say superior. I have been going longer, but it's Christmas Clatter Podcast. We just celebrate everything that makes Christmas special. We'll talk about ornaments, food, friends, family, even those sad times at Christmas, even movies. No Christmas subject is off base. And just find us, ChristmasClatter.com. You can go straight there. That'll take you to the podcast, the YouTube channel, all the socials from there. That's the quickest way to do it.
It's a great show. And Todd, I think probably your voice out of all the Christmas podcasters is the best. It's really relaxing. I can listen to your show anytime and you can be talking about anything. It just makes me feel calm and relaxed. It's fantastic. It's a great show, kids. You've got to check it out, especially one of the most recent episodes, because I was on it.
I know. That's going to be my most popular episode. I know it.
Yeah, unlikely. But thanks for coming on, Todd. It's great to see you and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, so boys and girls, what's this one? I got rid of Hangouts. I got rid of Skype. What is this? House Party. I thought they'd stopped House Party. Okay, let's see what's going on. Hello?
Hey, Jack. George Podcast
here. Oh.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm here. No, I'm not happy to see you.
I'm trying to improve your podcast.
None of your suggestions have been any improvement whatsoever.
I am a total lover of your podcast, Totally Christmas the Podcast. Like, I listen to it all the time.
You love it enough to know the title. That's at least you've got that. At least you've got that. Well done.
Yeah. My assistant got that one for me.
Brilliant. Right, what you got this week? Can you make it quick as well? Because I am actually in the middle of something. I know you always call while I'm in the middle of a segment, but please, can you make this one proper quick? Like, proper quick.
I got you. Don't worry. Proper quick. So earlier this week, I ran another focus group at the local mall's jail, and I got some suggestions. So here we go. One thing I noticed is you always seem to be accidentally leaving these calls between us in every episode. Do you not listen back to the episodes before sending them out to the world?
I try not to, actually. I don't really like the sound of my own voice when it's been recorded, but I like recording them because I like the sound of my voice in my head. And you know when you hear it back on a tape, you're like, oh, is that what I sound like? So I can't actually edit it myself. That's why I leave pretty much everything in.
Well, speaking of how you sound, Jack, you're English, right?
Yes.
Well, maybe this could be a segment. Hang on. I'm getting something here. So I heard the other day that when your ancestors were colonizing the world, they sang classic British colonizer Christmas carols like, "Oh, little town of who cares, you are now called New Bournemouth, and all I want for Christmas is every physical piece of your cultural identity bagged, tagged, and on display at the British Museum."
These aren't songs that I'm familiar with, and they're not songs that anyone sings if we ever did. I'm not saying we did, I'm not saying we didn't, but they're not songs that I would ever sing myself. I'm not proud of certain things that my ancestors may or may not have done. However, in 1966, we did win the Football World Cup. So we've got that going for us, George.
It really sounded like you had a lawyer's advice the way you answered that question.
I don't, what my question is, what do you think you adding to my podcast by A, interrupting it, and B, your suggestions, none of them, they're all hideous. They're just so bad.
This one's a great
one. The man who invented the podcast, your ideas should be a lot better.
Well, you know, I had one great idea, and then these aren't my ideas. I got these from the local mall jail, so, like, don't blame me.
Okay. Well, go on, and what else have you got then?
Okay, so a lady in the jail wants you to list every single meet cute in Hallmark Christmas movie history and explain why they are all an attractive widow bumping into a hunky dog catcher before accidentally severing his femoral artery with a snowblower.
You know, that is one I sort of wouldn't mind doing, but that's more of like a deck the Hallmark thing. I don't do a lot of movie reviews, really. I do one or two occasionally, but that's another fantastic idea that you've given me, George, and it is definitely food for thought, but maybe not, you know, there are other, have you thought about contacting other podcasts instead of my one?
I try, no one answers, no one seems to have Skype anymore.
Well, yeah, or apparently House Party. Yeah, can we just end it here, or?
No, I got one last one.
Is it the last one?
It's the last one, I promise.
A promise? Okay, if it's a promise, I'll accept it. Right, here, come on, let's see what you got.
Okay, I have two more. A man in the group would love to hear your professional opinion on what's the best kind of fir tree for Christmas, and why is it rat fur glued conically?
Wrapped fur?
Yeah,
rat fur.
That's a fir tree, yeah.
The fur of
from
a rat.
A big mouse, yeah.
You've shaved a rat.
I didn't.
How many rats has he shaved? Is it like a lot of shaved rats, or is it just one?
Well, it's got to be, what? Well, how big is a good tree size? Like 6'3", 6'4" tree, you know? Yeah,
so he's shaving these. Is he painting it green, or is it literally just brown rat fur?
Why would he do that? How does that make any sense? It's rat fur.
That is
it's
a good
green. Why would he make it green?
Okay, I don't think that's the best kind of tree. Oh, is this finally now? Is this finally?
Finally.
I like the sound of finally.
A guy in our group said, quote, "Get Jack to receive an on-air eggnog enema."
No, that's not going to happen either. No. Why not? Well, the idea of an enema doesn't really fill me with joy or eggnog. No, what? Why do I even, do you know, why do I even entertain you? Can you go? Get out of my sight.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well, Mr. Podcast. Thank you for all your hard work.
I'll see you next year.
We'll see. Boys and girls, in a previous one of my Christmas episodes, I recited "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," although its correct title is "A Visit from St. Nicholas," and I'd memorised it. Well, this year, I've been working hard to memorise The Grinch. That's right, I've memorised the whole book. Now, here's the deal. If you're familiar with the TV special and not the book, there are actually some differences in the book and the TV special. So, yeah, this is the version in the book, and I'm hoping I'm going to get it all correct. I'm going to give it my best shot. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season, but please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight, but I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Whos, glaring down from his cave with a sour grinchy frown at the warm lighted windows below in the town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath. "And they're hanging their stockings," he snarled with a sneer. "It's Christmas tomorrow. It's practically here. And he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, he knew all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early, they'd rush for their toys. And then, oh the noise. If there's one thing he hated, was the noise. And then the Who's, young and old, would sit down for a feast. And they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast. They'd feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which was one thing the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand and the Who's would start singing. And they'd sing. And they'd sing. And they'd sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? Then he had an idea. An awful idea. The Grinch had a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what I'll do. The Grinch laughed in his throat. And he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked. What a great Grinchy trick. In this hat and this coat, I look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer, the Grinch looked around. But since reindeer are scarce, there were none to be found. But did that stop the Grinch? No. The Grinch simply said, if I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. So he called his dog Max, and he grabbed some red thread, and he tied a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded some bags and some empty old sacks on a ramshackle sleigh, and he hitched up old Max, and he called, giddy up! And the sleigh started down to the homes where the Who's lay a snooze in the town. The windows were dark, quiet snow filled the air. All the Who's were all dreaming sweet dreams without care when they came to the first little house on the square. This is stop number one, the mean Grinchy Claws hissed, and he climbed on the roof, empty bags in his fist, and he slid down the chimney. It was rather a pinch, but if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings were hung in a row. These stockings, he grinned, are the first things to go. Then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room. And he took every present. Pop guns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn and plums. He stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch, very nimbly, stuffed all the bags, one by one, up the chimney. Then he slunk to the icebox and took the Who feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out that icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took the last tin of Who hash. And he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. And now, grinned the Grinch, I will stuff up the tree. And the Grinch grabbed the tree and he started to shove when he heard a small sound, like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast and he saw a small Who. It was Cindy Lou Who, who was no more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this little Who daughter who got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said,
Santa Claus, why are you taking a Christmas tree? Why?
Well, you know, that old Grinch was so smart and so slick, he thought up a lie and he thought it up quick. Why, my sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. This tree has a light that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there and then I'll bring it back here. Well, his fib fooled the child and he patted her head and he got her a drink and he sent her to bed. And as Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, the Grinch grabbed the tree and he shoved the tree up. The last thing he took was the log for the fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On the walls, all he left was some hooks and old wire. And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. Then he did the same thing in the other Who houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who mouses. It was quarter past dawn, all the Who's still abed, all the Who's still a snooze as he packed up his sled. And he packed up the presents The ribbons, the wrappings, the tags and the tinsels, the trimmings, the trappings. 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo to the Who's, he was grinchously humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the Who's, Dan and Whoville, will all cry, Boo-hoo! That's the sound, said the Grinch, that I simply must hear. And he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But this sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so. But it was merry. Very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. He shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who, down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet, eyes cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes and bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day, and the moment his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. And he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. There we go, boys and girls. Now, I won't lie to you. I didn't look at the book once, but I did have to edit that, or I paused and had to remember the lines and that. So there's a little bit of editing, but I swear to goodness, I didn't look at the book. I didn't look at the words at all. I really did memorize that. Yeah. And if you want to go back and have a listen with the book, you'll see the mistakes I made. I'm pretty sure I made a few words here and there, but most of it was pretty much spot on, and I'm very proud of myself. And also, I want to say thank you to little Juno, who played the role of Cindy Lou Who very well, I thought. Now let's do this. Boys and girls, the last few episodes I've been playing a song from Adam Kennedy's album. He was on the show a few episodes ago. This is the last one I'll be playing this year. And I thought I'd add this one last because it's a little version of A Christmas Carol. Very short version of it. But you might enjoy it. I enjoy it. I like it a lot, this one. I'm going to play it for you now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just the other night, I was sleeping like a big old Yule log. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter that I sprang from my bed to see what was cooking. I smoked my head on the bedroom roof, started bleeding down my face. I stumbled out of bed and fell down the stairs. I was leaving a dark red trace. Up I stood and looked around the room. The fireplace is all I saw. I glanced out the window as reindeer flew with perfect pitch, roll, and yaw. Now, folks, you wouldn't believe what happened next. Well, maybe you would. Well, I knew Santa would be coming down the chimney soon, so I had to put the fire out fast. I ran with a bucket towards the flames, but got clotheslined by the ghost of Christmas past. He held his hand out and said,
"Come with me."
I said, "Wait, what the total shit?" Then we flew out of the window, and quick as a flash, I was dancing with old Fezziwig. Then the ghost of Christmas present came and showed me Santa burning in my fire. He then dared me to waft my hand through the flames, and I said that's something I don't desire. Then the ghost of Christmas future came and killed me.
And that is it for this episode. I want to wish every single one of you a very Merry Christmas. Are you going to wish them a Merry Christmas as well, girls?
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Well done, ladies. Now, I always take a break in January, so I will be back either at the very end of January or the start of February. So if you subscribe, then you'll get that new episode as soon as it comes out. If you're just listening for Christmas, that's fine and dandy, but you know, you might want a shot of Christmas throughout the year, so I'll always be here releasing episodes every 2 weeks. Before we go, we just want to say a big thank you to some people. That's Shelley and Frank Arnold, Bob Baker and Joanna Going, because they sent you some lovely gifts, didn't they, girls?
Yeah.
So what are you saying then?
Thank you for the lovely gifts.
Do you know you're saying something?
I like Slim so much. Thank you.
Well, yeah, that's the end of the episode. So one last thing to say, and that is...
Merry Christmas!
And remember, kids, you know I love you. Help control the pet population. Have your pet spayed or neutered.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.